Mike, hey, listen, happy birthday. Yeah, Vinny reached out to me. Let me know it was your birthday. So I tried hitting you up on Facebook. Vinny said you don't have it. So, but listen, I just wanted to hit you up, say happy birthday. Yup. Listen, Mike, do you remember the time I was working at Good as Gold Coffee, and you came in with a package? Mike, if my memory serves me correct, was my dick hanging out, and you told me? Yeah, it was, huh? Right, Mike remembers. Listen, happy birthday, Mike. Mike, hey, Mike, one more. Stolen. Haha, that's happy birthday in Poland, Mike. Mike, hey, what do they say in Russia?
And you are listening to Stories from Central Mass podcast, and that was Brian doing an impersonation of the Bogdan, wishing Mike D a happy 66th or 76th birthday, whichever it is, I don't know. And you are, if I didn't say it already, listening to Stories from Central Mass podcast. I am the other Mike. I don't know, two out of three guys of my age are named Mike, so carry on. So I've been, I started a journal to basically to keep records of some of the funny things that have happened to me while I'm at work. Things I forget about. I sat there today and I wrote some of them down just so I won't forget them. And I tried to jot in some information. Then I got into a little bit of storytelling with go along with it. And some of it I don't want to talk about on the podcast because it's work related and I don't know how they feel about my opinion on everything that ever happened. But I'm going to write it down, keep it in a journal, and my dream is to make it into some kind of a movie, to write a screenplay or a script or something, I don't know, or one man show that I could actually tell on stage, because I like the storytelling aspect. Like I said, my buddy Jay and other people have always called me Mother Goose because I like a good story. But I like to be funny. I'm not really a joke teller. In fact, I've been told not to tell jokes because I often fuck them up, and the part they end up laughing at is me trying to get my way through the joke because I messed it up. But I've seen some really strange things. The getting up at, just after midnight, some guys get up to go to work for delivering bread or doing trash routes or whatever it is. Those hours after midnight and before sun comes up, see some strange things out on the road. Before I slip into trying to make a list of them that I've actually seen and experienced, that's all going to be in the notes. I have actually told one story here about the guy who stole the truck right in front of me and I didn't know it. Not my truck, a different guy's truck, and I didn't even know it, and I waved to him. I thought he was a new driver. Just wild ass snowstorms that my company has sent us out in. Because they didn't realize that, when you're on the other side of the state, the weather report's going to be different from the weather report you have here. And just crazy, crazy things like that. Now, here I am slipping into actually giving you facts about, well, not facts, but opinions about my job, which I'm not trying to do here on the podcast because I like my job. I it's good enough. There are things I don't like about it and there's things I like about it, but I'm not here to discuss that. In this journal, I'd like to just write down some of the facts of some of these handful of things that I've actually experienced. Some of them more amazing than others. But I'd also like to what's the word I'm looking for? I'd like to be able to talk about some of the crappy things of working those hours. The good and the bad. I like it to be like a dark comedy, like if it was a one-man show where I could stand there and tell you like the day in the life of a guy that gets up in this hour and some of the things he sees and some of the people he experiences and how he's treated from all different walks of life and who you'd expect to be a good person really isn't and who is a good person who you were surprised at. Did I say that right? Basically, the little yin and the yang idea. But I'm about to go into a Price Chopper right now and pick up my daughter some food, so I'll get back about this in a minute. So I got this idea from Vin doing Tales from the Curb. Now, I've tried to record this part like 5 times now. I keep getting phone calls in the middle of recording it. I forget that I already said something and I repeat myself. But in a nutshell, I started this journal because I want to be able to write like a comedy writer does. Like somebody who gets hired and writes for TV shows or movies or what have you. Now, I know a guy like me who didn't do well in school, who did enough to get by because he really had a difficult time, doesn't really have these opportunities in life to pursue such an idea. I can remember going to a bachelor party for a friend of mine, and my buddy Jarrett was there, and he popped in a tape in the tour bus on the TV as we were on our way out to Boston or wherever we were going. And he showed a bunch of old videos from when we were kids, and we used to do sketch comedy. And most everyone was laughing because it's just old videos of us and us trying to be funny and laughing at the situation as opposed to the actual jokes. But there was one guy there who I barely knew. I knew his sister, and I didn't really know him very well. And he's like, he was really genuinely laughing and impressed with it, how young we were and we were able to do this. And he looks over at me, he's like, "Hey, Mike, he's like, I think you missed your calling. This is really funny, good stuff." He's like, "You improvise and all that?" I'm like, and I kind of just paused and I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And it kind of took me out of the moment for a minute because I thought to myself, did I miss my calling? Now, I know this is like, my friends who are going to hear this right now are going to laugh at me. Like, "You ridiculous fool thinking that you would ever possibly be able to do something like that." It's like, well, I don't know, man. I didn't live my whole life to just do what I'm doing now. I mean, I don't wake up every morning with the fire in my gut to go deliver bread. Don't get me wrong, it's an honest day's pay, but it's a long day of work. I have a lot of time to myself to think about stuff, and that's kind of cool. I get to listen to podcasts, and, you know, there's some downtime, but it's a long day. It's a long day driving. It's a long day listening to people tell you, you know, when you go somewhere, everybody's your boss. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that I'd like to make some changes, but I don't want to make them so drastic that it really affects anyone else. So I started the little journal, and I'm going to attempt to, I don't know what it is, just put something together, and then at the end, when I feel like I'm done with it, proofread it, try to put it together the correct way, maybe go online and look up how is this done, you know, and have a finished product, whatever that product might be. Maybe the finished product is, I have a journal that has a bunch of entries about me working, and someday my daughters can read it. I don't know. I just know that there's more to it than what I'm doing. You know, the podcast is supposed to be better than it is. I started out very, very nervous about it, and I recorded the first 2 episodes because it was the greatest stories I could think of. Me telling Louis C.K. to suck a bag of dicks in traffic, and my house being haunted and seeing a ghost. Now, I thought they were great, but I recorded those 2 things a long time before I ever posted them. In fact, I posted them on the website, on the Anchor website, and then I didn't tell anyone about it. And then one day I was just at work, and I got so super paranoid about me talking on the internet, my voice and my story and my history being out there, that I freaked out and I deleted it. That's why when you look at my podcast, episode 2 comes before episode 1. It doesn't really matter the order they're presented, but that's when I reloaded them. That's how they came up. The fear of not knowing what to do, or the fear, I guess everyone talks a mean game about, oh yeah, you know, strive to be better. Just, you know, put yourself out there, way hard on your sleeve. I can coach a mean game. Like I always said when I was a kid, I was acutely aware of the fact that I didn't know what was going on in school. You know, I wasn't ignorantly bliss. I was very concerned and trying to figure out what was going on and trying to make it through my day without looking like a fool. And this very activity that I'm doing right now is looking like a fool. Writing a script about your work day when you have no writing experience at all and you kind of come from this Massachusetts, Worcester, shit on you before anybody else gets a chance to shit on you mentality. No, as I'm getting older, my friends are too. We're kind of growing out of it a little bit. We might actually ask each other, hey, how you doing today? And before, when we were kids, we'd be like, oh, go fuck your mother before you even said anything. You try to get some type of a dig in on each other. And I don't know why we did that. It was like you grew up with kids just a little bit older than you who you looked up to, just shitting all over you, non-fucking-stop. And the only way you could prove yourself in that little circle was to, I don't know, excel at sports or have some type of a witty comeback yourself. I would never dare in those moments think, hey, man, I'd really love to try to write sketch comedy. When the fact of the matter is that a handful of those guys probably would have enjoyed that too. So here I am right now spilling my guts on this thing about how I'd like to be able to do stuff like that. How I tried to do stand-up comedy, and that was kind of cool. Because other guys were like, holy shit, you really, you know, that's just like talking shit just up there on a stage. Well, guess what? Talking shit up on the stage didn't work. It was the stuff I had to write that actually got me laughs. It was the stuff I remembered and had to say again and try to improve on that worked. I'm not telling you that shooting from the hip didn't work, because that's how I got through most of my life, is shooting from the hip. But I will say that I'd like to do it better. So I have a lot of responsibility with my job and my children and my wife, and I don't know, I guess everybody does, so I really don't have the time to go out and do some of these things. I say right in the Anchor app that I don't get to go out and do a lot of things, so this is what I like to do, and everyone laughs at me about that. But it's true. I don't really have time to go and do things, and I have to steal precious moments to try to make these things happen. I'm not going to be able to do a 2-minute stand-up set while I'm sitting at home in between mopping floors and making supper. But I could sit there and recollect the story of, you know, how a 200-pound pig was just standing in the middle of the road one day when I was on my way to work. And every time I tried to drive around him, he stepped in front of me. You know, something stupid like that. I mean, it might not be funny in this context that I'm telling you right now, but it was pretty funny. Can be added, it could be punched up. I don't know, man. I'm in a good place right now in my head. And I have to tell you that I come and go with those feelings. I often get really stressed out about stuff, and I can't think what's heads or tails. And right now, I still really can't, but I just feel a little bit positive about it. And this is a little positive thing to do and write. And what's the worst that's going to come out of it? I learned some sentence structure, or I improved my spelling. You can only go up from where I am. Yeah, I'm self-deprecating and to try to defend myself because I'm half illiterate. And the further and further I get away from school, the worse I am. And let's face it, I haven't been in school for 25 years. So even if there's nothing that comes of this story writing idea, and I end up closing this journal with only 4 pages written in it, I'll start another one and I'll do something different, but it'll be part of the process. Because Jesus, dude, I don't even have a hobby anymore. I don't go fishing. I pretend like I do. I haven't been fishing, Jesus, since the year 2000. I have a picture of me catching my biggest bass the year 2000. I mean, I've gone a little bit of fishing, but not on an actual fishing trip. I kayak, but I don't even have a vehicle I can put my kayak on anymore. You know? So here's my moment. Here's my thoughts. These are the things I daydream about all day long while I'm driving around in my vehicle. Why wouldn't I put them on paper? And then I go back and I read it. And I'm like, ooh, you suck at spelling, Mike. What the hell did you even try to write there? But that's the point. Do it. Try to fix it. Try to remember it. Read it. Read it every other day. Try to memorize what you said. Try to keep it in relevant so that you can like improve on it. Don't cross anything out. Leave it there. Just turn the page and start over. It's just a stupid $3 notebook. I don't know. I think it could be fun. The podcast will still be here. Of course, it's not like I'm giving up on the podcast by saying any of this. It's just not anywhere near where I want it to be. I want it to be different, but I realize it's not. But that's all right. It's all right. There's only room for improvement. It does sadden me when I realize that not very many people listen to it. And I'm like, oh. And I hear about other podcasts that are very, very successful. They're like, oh, I only got 100,000 downloads the other day. I'm like, are you shitting me? If I had 50 people listen to this on a regular basis, I would be ecstatic. But I got about 6. And I think sometimes they listen 2 or 3 times because they're checking in on what I actually said. And then it looks like I have 11 people listening. But I don't know. We're here to have fun, right? Try to do something to make you happy. I just think that this might... I don't think it's going to actually become anything, to be quite truthful with you. But I just want to do it. I want to do it, and then when it's done, be like, "Yeah, I wrote a story, you know. I put together some shit. I don't know." Well, now that I've babbled on for a good 11 minutes, almost 12 minutes now, I'm gonna pause this and I'll say a few closing words. So I'm not gonna delete that last part. I may have babbled for a little longer and went off the beaten path a little bit. But it's all very, very true. I guess. I don't know. But I have a collection of different things that have happened that were just great. I mean, just bizarre and funny. And I'd like to try to put them in order so that they could become like the Super Trooper movies, you know? I know that sounds so stupid to say because it's so goofy. But I like goofy. But at the same time, I want it to be show a little bit of the true grittiness of the day. You know, I guess that's called the dark comedy. I don't know. But at any rate, you've been listening to Stories from Central Mass podcast. As always, I'm still Mike. There's another Mike who eventually will send me in some of his stories. There's a Vin, his brother, who will definitely send in some stories as well, soon enough. And then there's Vin's buddy Brian, who I've never met, who does an incredible impersonation of Bogdan. And then, I don't know. We'll get it together, throw it in a box, we'll shake it up, and I'll record it and send it to you. Thank you. God bless. And don't drink and drive. Thank you. My buddy gives me a call. This takes place back in 2006-2007. He gives me a ring. He says, hey, I'm having a party. You know, come on out. I live in Central Massachusetts. He lives in Dorchester, Mass. So I live about 40 miles west of him. You can figure out where that is pretty easy. So he says, hey, you know, my roommates went home for the weekend and they saw their younger sister getting ready for prom. And they got all nostalgic and everything. And we're going to have a prom theme party at the house. You should come out. I'm like, all right, cool. So I hop in my car and I'm heading out there. I got a tuxedo. I mean, I'd been in like a half dozen weddings and such. And I stole a piece from every tuxedo I'd ever had and never returned it. So I had a makeshift suit. I can get by. So I'm rolling out there and I'm not exactly a responsible person. At this age, I was like 26, 27 years old. I had a bunch of CDs on my front seat and a styrofoam container with like leftover food and my tuxedo hanging. And I'm so thrilled to be going out there. I'm finally doing something, you know. And, you know, I'm listening to the music and everything. And I get out to like the Mass Pike Extension, which is basically just another excuse to have another toll at the end of the Mass Pike to get you into Boston. So I get on the Mass Pike Extension and I'm heading into Boston. I bang a left, like, I don't know, just after Fenway Park going towards Dorchester. And somewhere between there and the off-ramp to get to where he was going, I think it was like exit 18. I don't know why I remember that or if it's even true, but whatever. A guy cuts me off. And I mean, he cuts me off bad. He comes whipping from the right-hand side and just drives right in front of me. And I have to jack on my brakes. And my food and my CDs and my tuxedo go flying. And I instantly lose my mind. And I'm like, holy shit, this just happened. I can't believe this just happened. I mean, there's like food on the floor, the CDs everywhere, the tuxedo's on the dashboard, and I can't tell if the legs are getting stuck in the barbecue sauce. I'm just pissed. So I do something I've never done before, and I just punch it, and I start chasing after the car. And
part of me is saying, like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Well, you're not gonna chase this guy. And the other part of me is like, I gotta fucking see what this guy looks like, man. I just gotta see what this guy looks like. And I can hear my father saying in my head, Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm saying to myself, I just gotta see him. I just gotta see him. And so I'm chasing him. And sure enough, we're coming to the off ramp and there's traffic. And, you know, you can go to the left and keep going straight, but this guy's obviously gonna get off the same exit I do. So I now start cutting people off, and I get right up alongside of him, and I stop in an open lane right next to him. I look over at him, and I'm fuming, I'm pissed. But part of me is really, really scared and excited, and I don't know what to do. And I accidentally tap my window to, like, roll it down a little bit, but it automatically starts going all the way down. And as it's going down, I'm making a gesture to him, like, roll your window down. And he's looking at me like, yeah, I'll roll my fucking window down. I'll roll my window down. And then he rolls his window down like part way, and now there's like, you know, we're almost like face to face, and you know, he's got like red hair and a goatee, and he's bigger than I am, and I'm like, oh shit, you know. But before I could think or do anything, I just yelled out, "Suck a bag of dicks!" And then I paused and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he's like, "Huh?" And then I drove off, and just like that, I uncomfortably started hysterically laughing. I didn't know what to do. I was speeding. I had just cut off a bunch of people myself. I looked down. My suit's actually all right. The food actually didn't fall out. The CDs are on the ground, but who cares, you know? So I'm driving, and I just start laughing to myself. I'm like, oh, my God. That is the funniest thing I've ever done, and there's nobody here to witness it. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if that guy could tell that story and everybody could find out about it, you know? I don't know. I don't know. So I get to Dorchester. I go to the party. I see my buddy. I mean, the party's already hopping when I get there. And I start to tell him the story, and he's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Just get ready. There's girls in prom dresses that are like in their late 20s, and the liquor's flowing. Let's go. So I have a good time, you know? Cut to, I don't know, a year or two later. I don't even know how long ago it was after that. I'm at home late at night after going out drinking. And I come home, and on HBO is like one of the comic reliefs. It's pre-recorded and whatnot. And it's, you know, it's the one that has like Whoopi Goldberg and Robin Williams and I don't know who else. But I turn it on just as they're introducing a comedian. And they're like, coming to the stage, Louis C.K. I'm like, oh, cool, man. I like this guy. So he comes out to the stage. I'm standing like drunk right in front of the television, six inches away from it. And he comes out and he's like, so, guy told me to suck a bag of dicks the other day in traffic. And I froze. And I was like, I told a guy to suck a bag of dicks in traffic once. And he goes on to tell the story almost word for word the way I just told it to you. Except the only thing he added was that he said that the guy had a dog in his front seat and then flew into the windshield. Apparently a tuxedo, CDs, and some leftover food looked like a dog. Or I don't know. Maybe it really wasn't him. Maybe it's all just a weird coincidence. But that story, I believe it was him. I don't know. I looked into it later on, found out he was actually from the Boston area. But, I mean, the car was kind of shitty that he was driving. He was already an established comedian. I don't know. It's just the story. It's just something that happened to me. There was a weird coincidence that may have just matched up perfectly with somebody else. For all, I don't have any idea where his story took place. This is just a story that happened to me. That made me say, So anyway, that's it.